Hi, we're back, and you're listening to Eye on Real Estate. This is Dottie Herman. We're talking with Tracy Becker, who just joined us in the studio. We're going to talk about how you boost your credit, because a lot of times you really won't get a mortgage, or you'll get higher interest rates. And if you're not buying a house, just everyday interest rates and things of that nature could make you have to pay more for money. So we want to give you some more tips on that. Remember, you're listening to a WOR, and the number is 800-321-0710. That's 800-321-0710. And you can call us or email us about any of your real estate questions. Now, you know, I was reading something that said, Tracy, who's in the audience, that from all the mortgage loan applications that get denied, 25% of the total get denied.
Wow.
And there's a lot of reasons, of course, you know. One reason is if you have too few of the condos in your association have been sold. So if you're in a condo association, you have to have 70% sold. And if they don't sell 70% of them, they're a little nervous to give you a mortgage on that. So they're not doing that. So that's why the condos really and co-ops that are being built try to get...
Well, they try to get FHA approval because the requirement drops to 30%, and the idea is to get sort of momentum built up.
Right, right. And that's why you're starting to see on advertisements, you'll see it's prominently displayed 70% in contract.
So well, if you see 70% in contract, that's really just telling you that, you know, you can
financing.
Get a mortgage, because the
right,
financing is key. If you can't get financing, it's going to hurt the developers to get their inventory sold. But the other thing that's, of course, one of the main reasons is your debt is too high. And now, tell me if this is true, Tracy. I read, and I'm reading it right now, that if someone's total debt payment exceeds 45% of their income, the mortgage will be denied, whereas in 2009, the limit was 55%.
Well, actually, what's happened was that we had much looser standards in the past, and now that we're in this current environment, yes, it's down to 45. And in reality, if you think about that, 45% of your gross income going to a mortgage payment is a really high number. I personally don't even think that's a comfortable number for most people, but that it is what it is. Most people don't get past about 40.
Well, so look, just for a rule of thumb, so you can figure that out. Okay, it's 45%. Now, that makes a big difference than last year. We were supposed to get loosening mortgage money. I mean, that was what the paper said. That was what the president promised us, that they were going to lend us more money. And obviously, it looks like it's gotten worse. And as I've always said, Jonathan echoes the same as me. This is not a housing problem. People still want homes. The American dream is alive. I'm going to read you a survey later that tells you that I think 65% of the people are glad that they have a home and had good experiences with home ownership. And nobody really wants to rent, for most part, unless they don't have the money to buy. So the credit, and I tell all the people that work at Douglas Elliman, guys, you better check people's credit before we do anything, because it's very different today. So that's another reason why I have Tracy on the show, because I don't think we had to worry as much 10 years ago. Do you have any ideas about...
Well, definitely now credit is just extremely important. And even if somebody has really excellent credit scores, and for example, we had a client whose wife went to the hospital, gave birth, they had the wrong insurance, they never replaced with the new insurance. There was a collection on the credit report for some kind of a doctor in the procedure. He didn't know about it because he moved. He went to go get a mortgage, and his score dropped 80 points because of one new collection for $250. Couldn't get the mortgage.
For $250?
Yeah. It could have been $2. It would have been the same thing.
So in other words, it's not the amount.
No.
It doesn't have to be a lot of money.
Right. It could be a dollar. It could be $20 million. It's going to affect the score the same way. So we had to get that collection removed so he could get this loan. Otherwise, he couldn't buy the house he wanted to buy. That was it. It was over. But, you know, earlier you were talking about FHA. And just recently, the government made a new regulation that if you have a tax lien under $25,000 and you go into a payment plan with payment in full at the end result, they will remove the tax lien from your credit.
Wow.
So, if you're going for an FHA loan, you can't get an FHA loan if you haven't paid the government and you have a tax lien on your credit.
I wouldn't think so.
So, for all these young people who want to buy a home, wherever it is in New York, and they have, let's say, a $7,000 tax lien, and that's part of their down payment for the FHA loan, and they have to pay that completely to get the loan, they can't buy that property for years. But now, they go into a payment plan with payment in full as the end result. There's a grace period, I don't know, probably a couple of months, and it has to be directly debited out of their checking account. Once they start to do that, they get a withdrawal letter, and the bureaus remove the lien from the credit report, so that couple can now go and buy a house.
That's great news.
Yeah, and they could enjoy this market, as you were talking about, with housing being so low, instead of waiting 4 years, 5 years. Totally different story.
You'll see a whole different market. And you'll see inflation, which we're starting to see already in certain cases with gas.
Yes. Although, more importantly, 5 years from now, what's the weather going to be like?
Well, listen, I chose that career as my next career because you don't have to be right.
All right.
People don't care because they expect you to be wrong, as I was this week when I told everyone spring will be here for the holidays.
I put all my winter clothes away.
Yeah.
I'll have linen shorts.
But I only have to be right 50% of the time.
Thought if people want to ask Tracy a question, they can call in at 800-321-0710.
There's another thing that I wanted to talk about that's really important, and Jan brought this up, which was the difference in credit scores. And this is extremely confusing for consumers. There's just recently been a lawsuit against Experian because they were promoting...
Well, Experian is a credit...
is one of the bureaus, Experian, right. TransUnion, and Equifax. They were promoting their score, which is a Vantage or a Plus score, which is completely different than a FICO score, which is what bankers use.
Can you explain that to everybody listening,
yes.
What a FICO score is?
FICO is a company that's completely separate from the bureaus, which are Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. And the bureaus compile information about all of us across the country. FICO created the score. The score takes the information from the bureaus, spits it into a formula, and the result is your FICO score. And you have three, one for Experian, one for TransUnion, one for Equifax. Vantage could be 100 to 150 points higher. Plus could be 50 points higher. So if somebody buys a score from Experian, they think, oh, this is my score, and they don't realize the score is 50 points higher. That could be the difference between them getting a loan, mm-hmm. not getting a loan, or paying thousands more a month.
So the lenders use the FICO number, not this other sort of premium number that the bureaus provide.
Right. They I would say 95% of the banks use the FICO score. Some business banks use Vantage score, but that's not for the general public. So, yes, you have to really look at your FICO score.
And why are these other scores? I'm just curious, what are they for?
Profits for those companies.
Just marketing?
They want to get in on the score craziness right now, that craze of, oh, I need my score, my credit, and there's a lot of money to be made.
But do services or firms use those scores, or is it just a product that consumers buy that seems inflated from what FICO would actually be?
It's products that consumers buy that the bureaus sell directly to consumers, and they also want to sell to banks. They want to get in
so
there
and compete. Trying to.
Yes.
I see.
And they will eventually, but now, no, they're not.
Dottie, I just wanted to ask one other question of Tracy here. I don't want to monopolize the credit discussion, but I had read something that FICO is claiming now with this new metric that they're able to generate, that they can essentially accurately predict when someone's going to be a strategic defaulter on their mortgage.
That's interesting.
Is this something new or just a rehash of what's out there?
It looks like it is new. I don't know much about it. I haven't read about it, but I will, you know, find out more about it. They're always coming up with new scores because they want to sell these scores to banks because that's how they make their money.
Interesting.
So, you know, there's so many different scores available already. I mean, there are scores for insurance products. There are scores for so many different kinds of businesses.
Well, we are going to really come back from the break and talk about what can hurt your credit card score, what can hurt your mortgage score, because that's really what I think most of our listeners want to hear about. And we have some questions on the line, but you can call us about credit or any real estate questions, and you can call us at 800-321-0710. Stay warm and stay out of the rain, unless you don't mind getting your hair wet. We'll be right back.
News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Eye on Real Estate on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Here once again is Dottie Herman.
Hi, we're back on this rainy, kind of chilly day, but we have a great show and we're staying warm in the studio, and I hope you're staying warm in your home, even though spring should be, I'm hoping, next week. In any event, we're talking with Tracy Becker about credit and how to boost your credit score and some of the things that happen to people without them really knowing. And then the second half of the show, we're going to talk about income taxes, they're done, and what you should keep and what files and what papers that you need to keep so that you, if you have an audit or something, you have all the documentation you need. And also when you sell your home, you want to keep all the improvements. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk a little about spring cleaning. And, of course, we're here to hear all of your real estate questions or anything you want. And, by the way, the gentleman that called last week and said that he had run out of he was having a problem paying his, I'm sure, the co-op board. A few people emailed me, and if you're listening, they said, well, maybe you could get a roommate to live in with you. And which we didn't really think about.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. If, yeah. You know, as long as the co-op allows
it. And I want to thank all our listeners for really, I mean, we really kind of have a community.
Yeah.
And
people try to help.
People really try to help each other. And a lot of people will say, you know, that caller that called in with this problem, here's a good solution. So I think that's really nice. I think it's, I feel a sense of community. So thank you, everybody who listens. Before we go back to Tracy, there's some mortgage people, I mean, some credit questions on the line, and people have some questions, so I'm going to take a few, and maybe you could answer them, okay? Mm-hmm. I have Jim on the line from New Jersey.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Dottie?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a quick question. I settled some credit card debt for less than full balance. How long are the derogatories, how long do they stay on your credit report? They were charged off. And then I went back when I had a little funds, a little more money, and I made arrangements and paid them in settlement. So on my credit report, it says paid for less than full balance. How long does that stay on?
Well, that normally will stay on for 7 years, but that's something that we work on removing. So you can call our office. It's North Shore Advisory. The number is 914-524-8300, and we'll review your credit report and see if we can help you. But if you did nothing, it's 7 years. When did you pay them?
Within the last year.
Okay, so I would definitely have us review your credit. If you told me 4 years ago, I'd say it's not really impacting you that much, but it was just a year ago, so it's still really hurting your score. Are you going to be doing anything with your credit in the next couple of years?
Yes, I plan on it, and I think it's critical that I get it straightened out.
Right.
It's really hurt my credit score, and you know, everywhere you turn, it's
yes.
Either you get denied or you're going to pay a much higher rate.
Exactly, Jim. And that's why, so to all of our listeners, whether you're getting a mortgage, just getting a credit card, it's real important to take a look and see what your credit score is, because a lot of times somebody's not even aware that their credit has been hurt. It could be a mistake. It could be you didn't pay. Do you know what happened to me once? I had credit cards, and they sent me two credit cards, maybe a gold and a silver from the same company. So I sent it back, and I said, I don't need two from the same company. And there was a charge for both of them, and so I didn't pay, like, the $25. $25. Now, I didn't think anything about it. Because, you know, they sent me two of the same charges. Just one was a step above, you know. They didn't send me the black.
Depends on what mood you're in, whether you fill out the gold or the silver.
Right, right.
Well, they didn't send, no, I was annoyed they didn't send me the black.
I think black is only American Express.
Yeah, so anyhow.
You have to be invited. You can't ask.
My credit was really damaged. I had no idea. So that's, Jim, that's really good that before you do anything, you check it out. And for anyone listening, that's something that you should check your credit. Just make sure that you're scoring a good score today, or an acceptable score would be what, 760?
An excellent score is a 740 and above. But you have to make sure you're buying the right score. That's the other thing we were just talking about. If you want to know the score that the banks are going to use, you have to go to myfico.com to get your credit
score. Okay, can you say that again for listeners?
It's myfico.com, myfico.com. Now, there is a problem with that as well, because you can only get two of your three scores, because Experian won't let FICO sell their information because they have their own score they want people to buy. So if you get the two scores from FICO, the banker takes the middle of the three. So if two are high, you're okay. If one's a 620 and one's a 740, then you don't know your middle score.
Well, let me ask you, why would there be such a difference in scores? I mean, if I'm
good
the
question.
Same person, why would three different companies have rated my credit differently?
Good
question. I don't even know.
I'll tell you why.
I didn't even know that.
If you, like the man I was talking about who had a collection from the doctor at the hospital, the collection agency, which is a smaller company, doesn't want to spend the money to report to every bureau because they have to pay money to report to the bureaus. So they only report to one or two, usually two. Because if they report to two, that's going to affect the middle score dramatically. Because if they report to one and you have two other scores that are good, then your middle score will be good. So it's like this. It's not the median score, it's the middle. Let's say you have a 620, a 630, and a 740. Your middle score is a 630. That's the score the bank uses. If you have a 620, a 740, and a 745, your middle score is a 740. So if you only check one credit score and you happen to check the score that doesn't have the collection on it, you're in trouble when you go to the bank.
I guess there's so much to
Jim,
know.
I wonder,
mean, how are you supposed to know all
I wonder
this
why
stuff?
People are confused.
You know,
I'm in the business.
The whole thing is confusing.
It is, and that's why I wrote a book about it.
You did?
Yeah.
You're writing
my book's coming. But you know what? It took me 3 months to write this book because there was so much information in my head that it just came pouring out. And it just shows you how much there is to know about credit.
So how do people get your book? What's your website?
It's going to be out in about 2 months from now. It's NorthShoreAdvisory.com.
Oh, you'll come on our show and tell everybody.
Yes, I'll let you know when it's out. When
right, I mean, we'll tell.
No, that sounds like
it's really not
required reading.
Yeah. So, Jim, does that answer your question?
I do appreciate it. It's good information, and hopefully just work on getting the credit score up. That's all. It's so important.
It really is, and I don't think half of us are aware of what happens to credit scores.
One more thing I just want to add, which is really important. Now, in this case, you already paid your charge-offs and collections, but for people who haven't, they're much better off coming to us before they pay.
Why?
Because we could negotiate a removal of the negative information on the credit report with the leverage of the money owed.
Uh-huh. Oh, so in other words, you say we'll pay if you remove it.
Right. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to, but we have much more of an opportunity available for positive change when the money isn't paid. So once they pay it and then come to us, it's a little more difficult. So anyone out there who is in this situation and hasn't paid yet, call us first.
Thank you. Thanks, Jim, and have a great holiday if you're celebrating.
Thanks, Tracy.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have Marcia on the line from Westchester.
Hi.
Hi, Marcia.
We enjoy your show. Question about the satisfaction of mortgage. That's the term they use. We paid off our mortgage years ago, and we never got the satisfaction of mortgage.
Is the bank still around that you paid it off to?
Is it still? Well, it became. It, no, it changed. It was, at the time, it was, it's now Chase. It was Bank of New York.
No. Is that right? No.
Bank it was Washington Mutual, but Bank of New York Mellon.
Bank of New York Mellon. Okay.
It's now Chase.
So here's the thing. You call whatever the bank currently is.
Yeah.
You call their customer service, and you pour a glass of wine, and you be very patient. Okay? It's going to take them a little while. And you have your loan number. You tell them that you're calling about a what they call a lineage bank, okay? And they'll send you to a different department that handles these accounts. And then you say to them, we never get the satisfaction. Start that process now, because it'll take months for them to get the actual document filed. They're required by law to file it, and you remind them nicely that they are. If you paid it off, the law requires that the bank
file. Well, you know, the idea was, and my husband and I have been debating this for a couple of years now, they said at the time, well, keep it open when I inquired, because in case you want to use, in case you know, it's not closed.
Well, that's different. Is that a home equity line of credit you're talking about now? You said it was a mortgage at first, but it sounds more like a home equity line of credit.
I think you're right.
Okay.
I think you're right.
So
through the years, that's right.
Yeah.
The second one was a home equity line of credit, but they still said, in order to sell the house, you need a satisfaction of mortgage, if we ever do.
That's right. When you go to sell the house, you're still going to have to get a payoff letter on that, and it's going to cost you a couple $100 with the title company for them to obtain the satisfaction post-closing, after the closing. So I would take care of it now. If you don't need that line of credit, if you've finished it now, Tracy, that's not going to kill the credit by closing that line of credit at the consumer request. I mean, they paid it off. It's a home equity line of credit just sitting there. Should they close it or leave it open?
Well, if it's open on the credit report, depends on what you want to do with your credit. You know, if you're looking to use your credit in the next couple of years, I would leave it alone.
Hmm. Yeah. So, you know, there's two issues. The legal side, you have a right to close it, but then you want to, you know, look at the credit side. Maybe they should call you, Tracy, and discuss it. Maybe pull your credit report and see what it looks like. And
yeah,
you can help them see what it's going to happen if they close that.
That's a good idea.
Anytime before you close a line of credit, we've all learned you got to look at your credit report, because it may hurt it.
Absolutely. You don't want to close something. And the thing to remember is,
well, people don't realize that.
No, they don't. I didn't realize
it. The higher the credit score, the more it impacts you when you close an account, or if you have a new negative on your credit report.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're telling you. Don't throw credit. Well, not that you're going to throw them away, but that you're going to close accounts, especially if you're going to be applying for credit, right? I mean, you just don't.
Yeah. If you're going to be applying for credit and your score is, let's say, a 745, and to get the better rate, you need a 740, you close that account.
But now, what if it's one of these credit card accounts that's charging, like one of the big banks just announced, a $58 fee to all their users, and you say, gee, I don't want to pay that anymore. I want to close it. Then it's hard.
Well,
not, what?
I'm telling you to hold up, because we're going to continue this conversation.
I thought I cursed
I'm
or something
like,
on
know,
the radio. I got,
no,
the,
no,
I got
no.
the hand signal.
I didn't ban you from talking. We are here at WOR at 710, and you can call us with your real estate questions at 800-321-0710. We were here with Tracy Becker, our credit coach. We're going to be talking about your spring cleaning and what documents that you should keep after you filed your taxes at the second half. And we're going to continue the conversation.
I'll hold that question.
What was that question?
I'll hold the answer.
You'll hold the answer.
I'll hold the question until after the break.
I know, but I want to tell everyone the question.
Oh, I'm sorry. The question is, you know, what if you have one of these cards with a high annual fee, you want to get rid of the fee, and you want to close the account, but then it's going to hurt your credit.
Right.
Stay tuned, and we'll give you the answer.
Right. I'm trying to make a cliffhanger. Okay.